See, it's all about overcoming little obstacles as they come.
I told you you could do it, man. I told you. I have faith in you.
All right, welcome back to Street PX. Episode, what we had, episode 9?
Episode 9, yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, we lasted this long.
Hey, nobody's kicked us off the air yet. And hello, everybody out there listening in. We're going to be going international today, everybody, with a couple of great, great guests. We've been waiting on this one for a little while now, and it's actually going to be a twofer. We got the Jonkers out of, is it Rotterdam?
Rotterdam.
Rotterdam.
Yes. Fantastic. And as always, I've got my co-host and good friend,
Jim Watkins. We're going to be talking to Willem Jonkers, the pirate of the asphalt. Sandra Jonkers. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Street PX.
Thank you for having us, and we're very excited.
Hey, you know what? I would like to start off this discussion with a story of how you two got involved in photography, and then what, you know, the challenges that you guys faced in the beginning.
It started about 2.5 years ago. We had some other courses to get to know the camera. And we did a lot of kinds of photography, but it was kind of boring to us. We were looking for some excitement, and you end up on the streets, and that's where it happened. So we stayed there, and we never looked back anymore. We loved the streets. It's very simple how we end up on the streets.
Now, we saw that you had been, you took a course is kind of what got you inspired to learn the camera, and then you just got hungry from there. Is that kind of the case?
Yeah, we did some courses here in Rotterdam with a professional photographer, and photographing numbers, photographing all kinds of assignments. And then we thought, well, this is a kind of boring. And then we had a course, street photography. And then we were like, okay, let's try that. So we went to his course, and he gave us some assignments, and then we got hooked, because you get the interaction with the people on the street. It's exciting, especially at first, because of the anxiety, right? We started out with a big zoom lens.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we came back with our photographs of people on the street, and he said, well, the pictures are okay, not that great, but okay, but you're not close enough. I said, what do you mean, not close enough? Yeah, you're using a zoom lens, probably a 200 millimeter. I said, right, well, what else do you want us to do? Yeah, you should take a 35 millimeter lens and then go into someone's face. I said, well, we were like, are you crazy? You're going to slap us in the face, you know? But then, we tried, and we read about it on the internet, and looked at a lot of photographs from the big masters, and we saw what he meant, and we just went on from there.
Yeah, and I have to say that from that point, we both didn't know fear. So we were very lucky. We weren't scared. So we just went for it. And after 2 or 3 months, it already was going much, much better. So it's the two of us. So we are motivating each other very, very much at that point. Criticizing also, of course.
Arguments.
Cat fights.
Me sleeping on the couch.
Believe me, I know the feeling.
Hey, sometimes it's like camping, so you got to think about the positive side. Now, you took a specific street photography course, like it was dedicated for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you recall who the photographer was that you took the course under?
Yeah, it was André Nijenhuis. He is he's a professional portrait photographer.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has his own school. And we went on from there. We took we took one course actually, and then
we hit the streets. The streets is your school.
It's either you swing or swim.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just go for it. You expand your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you go over your boundaries and create new boundaries. And then you go over that new boundary and so on and so on. And then you get closer and closer. And the closer you get, the more profound your pictures will be.
Now, Willem, let me ask you this. You mentioned a few places, a few places that you like to shoot. In the Netherlands, it's Rotterdam, Utrecht, and Eindhoven.
Yeah.
Yep. And in Belgium, Antwerp. You work in Antwerp.
Yeah.
So you correct. Do that. You do the lunchtime thing.
Correct.
Yeah, I know that feel. I did that for about 35 years in Chicago. I was a banker in Chicago, so I did that. Yeah. So I know that feeling. But I'm really interested. You said your favorite place is Berlin. Tell me about that.
That's just awesome. Especially the eastern part of Berlin, is the people are very expressive. It's very leftish from the politics side, So there are a lot of expressive people with different kinds of clothes, different expressions, different haircuts. Everybody's very free, doing whatever they want. And it's Berlin is... especially the eastern part of Berlin is very, very
inspirational.
It's just great, and people are very open. I love Berlin. It's my second home.
Do you find any trouble with the laws out there? I know that it's a bit different.
If you photograph on the street, you just photograph the people on the street, and then you deal with the people on the street, and if they ask you, hey, what are you doing? Then you just say, I'm taking a photograph, and explain why you are taking the photograph. And then I have a little card, and Sandra has a little card as well. And then you give them the card and offer them the photo.
Oh, so you actually offer kind of something to the subject.
Not all the time, but if they start to interact with me or with Sandra, then you have to be polite and you have to be prepared and explain what the hell are you doing. This is what I'm doing. I have my cell phone. Let's show them the website and let's see what I do, and say, okay, it looks awesome, okay, send me the picture. So what about the law then? The law doesn't matter then anymore.
That's right.
It's not about the law, it's about ethics.
That's the key word, ethics. Yeah.
And ethics, you cannot put ethics into law. Right? That's
right.
It's a different thing, different approach.
Especially here in the U.S., ethics doesn't always match with law all the time.
they're actually opposite words.
Yeah.
In the United States sometimes.
Not usually the same sentence. Now, because I think one of the big reasons I was curious is because here in America, if you go and shoot at like certain buildings or certain situations, just basically on the street, the lawman is one that is going to hassle you every once in a while. And I've had that happen with me. I don't know if Jim's ever had that.
I haven't had that happen.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've ran into it, so I'm always kind of curious as to if it's something that's an issue elsewhere.
But in the U.S., the law is the same, basically, as in the Netherlands, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, as long as you're in a public place, you can shoot without permission.
Yeah.
So it's pretty – it's not bad. But you do get occasionally some people within the law who will, hassle you just a hassle.
I was stopped by the police a few times. And then I explain, I show them my shots on the camera, and they're okay with it.
Once they see the talent there, and then they're like, oh, this guy's actually for real.
I was in Chicago once, too. It's awesome. I didn't do photography back then.
Okay.
A shame, because I loved it. Loved it even a little bit more than New York. I was in New York too, but New York is unreal and Chicago is real.
Yeah.
I like the way you put that, because it is, yeah, Chicago is very
dangerous to say.
New York is like a movie and Chicago is like real.
Exactly.
Yeah, Chicago is like boots on the ground, like true on blue collar.
You know, and that's where we learned. That's where we learned street photography in Chicago. Now we're in San Francisco, but still, you know, Chicago is still our home. Now, Sandra, you I know you shoot a lot in Rotterdam. Do you get to go anywhere, other places too, and shoot?
Yes, of course. I'm also a favorite city is Berlin.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it's a more difficult city to shoot. I have not the same experience as Willem does.
Ah.
For me, I'm more scared of being free for shooting. I'm not really feeling free when I'm shooting there.
Is that right? Why? Now, why? Do you know why?
Yeah. Feeling comfortable. That's the right word.
Uh-huh.
So I'm shooting there, but I'm not taking home much pictures.
So, are you just feeling like you don't have the shoot count, like the return that you get elsewhere?
No, exactly. Yeah. Not a return. That's the point.
Yes.
But in Germany, they have a history. The history, especially the eastern part, has a history with Stasi and then when the wall was still there.
You're right.
People taking pictures of other people, but it makes them.
To me, it
makes
us
feel a little
bit
funny.
Yeah. More free in my own city, but that's normal, of course, because I live here.
Yeah.
But I can feel the Berlin people don't always trust what I'm doing.
It's a lot more paranoia, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
They think you got ulterior motives when you're actually just trying to create art from them.
Yeah, correct.
But I think in the end, it's not the people of Berlin. It's probably me. Because
the feeling.
I'm a little scared to shoot the people. So it's the problem is with me, not with the people of Berlin.
Oh. Now, how long have you been shooting for?
3 years.
3 years, and I went three times to Berlin also. I've been there for three times now, but I'm still having difficulties with it.
As far as the feeling, the internal feeling, I've been doing it for 6 years now myself, and depending on the city or even in the same city, block to block, some blocks are going to give you a different feeling, and the people that are there, you can look at them, and sometimes you get that in your gut, like, maybe I shouldn't really take this picture with that particular person.
yes, but it can also be one day you can, but the other day you can't, because there is another vibe in the city.
Yeah. Now I was going to say, Sandra, you get around in a scooter. You have a disability, so you get around in a scooter. What is it like shooting from that level? I've heard you say that you generally don't get hassled a lot. What's your experience doing that?
Very interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's funny, too, because I'm to be as close as possible. So I'm going on my scooter. I see a subject or a scene, and I'm driving towards it, but I'm close, so people are noticing me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they are looking at me, what the fuck is she going to do? That's why I have
I don't know if you can use the F word here.
Oh, it's okay. We use explicit.
No problem.
No worries. We get the big red E on most of our episodes, so we drop the fuck bomb every once in a while as well.
But yeah, it's fun sometimes, but that's also the reason why I have a lot of shots that people are looking into my camera. They are looking at me, what the hell is she doing? Is she taking a picture of me? Yes, I am, of course I am. And I have listened a few weeks ago to a video of Valerie Jardin.
Yeah.
And in one of her videos, she is saying, giving a few tips for street photographers. And one of those tips was dress in black so you will get not noticed. I'm doing totally opposite. First of all, I'm driving a scooter. I'm getting noticed. Second of all, I bought a fur coat and I bought a big red hat and I'm looking like Cruella de Vil. So people are always looking into my camera and I like that because I want to catch the spirit of the people. I want to see the eyes. It's not always working, but most of the time, yes. And I'm thinking in summertime, I'm going to buy very, very high sexy heels. So people are going to look at me and I catch their faces.
Yes, take it, flip that whole ninja street on its head.
Next year she'll go out naked.
Uh-oh. The reactions will be second to few.
Now, you know, one of my favorite shots, the one of yours, Sandra, that says just Sandra Yonkers to me, the one where the woman's standing against the wall smoking a cigarette, is that one where you just kind of just drove up to her and she started looking at you and you just got that shot?
Yes, she was walking there and she stopped in front of the wall and she was taking her pack of cigarettes. And I saw that and I stopped my scooter, I grabbed my camera, and she didn't notice me at that point. She was lighting her cigarette and she was looking at me and I got the shot. So I'm trying always to be fast, but I'm working with a Canon 70D. So really fast, is that camera not?
And it's not very fast.
No. Yeah, fast. Right. It's a kind of a bulky one too, so
but one thing, I'm not shooting toward in front of my eyes, I'm shooting from my left. Always. So that's why my shots are from a lower level.
She cannot get the camera in front of her eyes because of the disability. It's too heavy.
It's too heavy. But I'm feeling one with the heavy camera, so I cannot leave it and go for a lighter one. I'm married to this camera.
Well, it's always the camera that's in your hand. That's the best camera always. And whenever you switch cameras, you're going to have to take time to learn the features and learn the settings. And it sometimes just takes too long. Now, having to stop and shoot from your lap, have you ever considered like installation, something like that, like on the scooter itself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like a turret kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
We thought about it, but
impractical.
This flexibility.
Yeah, I want to have the camera in my hands. I want to feel it. Feel to touch the button.
Yeah.
Because what you see in my photography is who I am. So I really need to feel the camera on my lap, push the button myself. Yeah, that's the way it is, and that's the way it works for me. And I'm not doing a really bad job, I think.
Oh, you're doing fantastic.
Yeah, of course, but I'm growing every day.
And just the talent that I've seen from both of you, it's impressive. And kind of switching gears over here to you, Vellum, about the wide angle. getting in close, like you alluded to a while ago when you first started the street photography class, you know, getting in close, somebody's going to slap me. But now on the flip side, you're pretty much, 20, 30 centimeters from a person's face?
So now I know you're transitioning from that. Now you're doing other things. You're getting to a less wide lens, but
I'm trying to go back to where I were. But maybe I don't know. You know, I'm just playing around.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't been shooting the street for 2 months now because I'm in some kind of a freeze.
Oh, I've been there where you just fall into a rut and you just don't. Yeah. Have that feeling, that motion that pushes you out to the street.
Exactly. I've been busy doing other stuff, other hobbies on the computer, and haven't been shooting the streets for 2 months. And I will be, of course, you know, but it's part of the process, part of your creative process, I think. You know, lately I was on the street with the fisheye, and I was like, okay, I'm doing this again. And it's all going to look the same, or, you know, I need to innovate, but I don't know how to innovate. And then I got bored. And then I thought, well, maybe it's time to, you know, put it to rest for a little while.
You know, Neil Villam, I think I'm in that phase right now. You know, I really do. I have been going out and trying to do some shooting. And what I have done to try to shake myself out of that is go to places that I generally do not go. You know, it's like there are areas in San Francisco that I usually do not touch. But I said, all right, I'm going to try this, try something new, you know, and see if I can shake myself out of it. So I totally understand what you're talking about. Exactly. You know,
it's an awesome idea for you for San Francisco, because I understand there are a lot of hills.
Oh, yeah. There are very, and I'm too old for those hills, though. So
yeah,
if you go
on my scooter if you want.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, there you go.
If you go to a crossover,
uh-huh,
on the half of the hill, or you know, lay in the middle of the street, go lay on your belly flat on the ground, and put your camera upwards on the hill and wait till people cross over. You'll get an awesome shot.
Oh, the horizontal. Yeah, when people are taking the path. But see, Willem, you're the one who's the master of the belly down approach. Because I've heard some of your past interviews that you, like, that's how your style, your approach is sometimes. You actually lay down on the sidewalk, is that right?
I'm bending very.
Yeah, I saw that video where you were going around and you were bending down to getting the shot, and people were looking at you like, what is he doing, you know? But you were getting those shots.
Yeah.
Incredible.
People really don't matter.
Yeah, it's almost like you drop something and people, and you're looking down, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But doing that with the 8mm, you're truly getting a caricature of people in many aspects. Like the gentleman you have he's a lofty fellow with the white button up. But he's got this kind of, I mean, the only thing missing is a cigar. You know?
Now, Sandra, I have a question for you. You've mentioned in the past about your artistic background. I think you did some paintings. What other artistic pursuits have you followed? You know, as you said, mentioned the painting. And also, do you see a parallel between these other artistic mediums and your street photography?
Yes, yes. The compositions.
Uh-huh.
It's totally different when Willem is shooting with fisheye, because that is going so quick, you cannot compose. But I'm always composing. It's in me. I cannot take a picture without composing.
Mm-hmm.
How quick I have to be, I'm always composing.
So now you painted, is that
exactly?
Oh. Was it oil or acrylic?
Oil.
It's amazing the hands-on approach that can correlate into something with a camera. Yeah, your eye sees differently.
Yes, yes, and I also look at light much, and you do that with paintings, but also in photography.
That's one thing that I like to do, and you know, I look at paintings. I don't paint. I have no, you know, I do draw, but I don't paint. So, but I do love to look at some of the like the impressionist, or you know, some of the even the early American painters, where they use light and they use it well. And I try to use that in my photography. Don't always work. Can't always capture it. But once in a while, you do get the chance to nail it. So I totally understand. You know what? I also love your through the window shots.
Oh yeah,
those are great. What draws you to that subject?
I don't know. When I'm going on the streets, I'm feeling very free. I'm not looking for something at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But my mind is feeling very free, and I see something and I just go for it. And there's nothing special at that moment that I can explain. That I cannot explain to you why I take that shot. I don't know.
But maybe people behind windows are usually people who are doing something. Reading a book, eating dinner, or eating the lunch, or having a romantic moment, or whatever. Maybe you're looking for that.
As they kind of look like they're cinematic captures. Being behind that window is like a stage.
Yeah, it is.
I agree, yeah. Possible to do that with a fish eye.
Which actually leads me to my next question. Sandra had made the comment about composing, and for you being with that fisheye, it's a near impossibility because, I mean, A, it's hard enough to get your composition A-OK in a 35mm frame, but you're working with 10% of that entire frame right in the center to get your primary subject. How would you say you got better at that? Is there something that you studied or practiced?
Well, I didn't really study. What I think is very important with shooting on the street with a fisheye is that the subject is completely in the frame. So don't miss a little part of the shoe or whatever. The video you saw and the shots I've shown in that video, I threw them away because I just made that video because I've got a lot of questions about how are you doing this. So I made the video, I went out with a friend, and I just showed the pictures I took, but they're not good because the subjects are not in the frame completely or they're not sharp enough or whatever. You cannot compose when shooting with a fisheye because using a fisheye, you have to be very close, because if you're not, the effect of the fisheye will be completely in the surroundings and the subject will be very small. And if you're not, and if you're close, like 20 or 30 centimeters from your subject, then the subject will fill the frame. And it's my street photography is about my subject, not about the surroundings. And then about composition, I do compose, but not through the camera. I compose in my brain. I look at the environment where I'm standing in. Is it a nice background? I look at my screen like, how will this background be in my screen if I take a shot in this street or in this environment or in this building or, you know, whatever surrounding which is there. And then I just wait for a subject to pass into that, to come into that surrounding. And then I go really low or on street level, and then I take the picture. But most of the time, or maybe 99% of the time, the subject is not completely filling the frame because I'm missing a part of the shoe or missing a part of the head. You know, I don't have the time to compose there because it's going so fast, because they're walking right beside me. So in only one, let's say 1 to 2% of the times, I have a good shot.
Well, you get enough of them.
1 to 2%, I got to say, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Getting a good shot return.
Yeah. Well, okay, but you also have to look. It could be kind of a gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To become a gimmick, that all look the same.
Yeah.
But that's why I started out with street portraits with the fisheye, approaching my subject really close in their face in 20 or 30 centimeters and then take a shot. Because then you have a really, really, you know, maybe you saw that shot with a woman with a cigarette.
Yes, yes.
So I thought, okay, this is different. Now I'm doing that. Or taking pictures from my belly and then take a shot. You know, the fisheye is a fun lens, but you should have fun with it.
Yes.
And play with it. You cannot use it like a regular lens because it won't work.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to mention that shot with the woman with the cigarette is one of my favorite shots of yours. I love it, man. That low angle, you shooting up. Classic shot.
Well, that was great. I was there, standing there. That was on. I'll never forget it. It was on a Tuesday. I had a day off from work, and I was there on the. There was a market, and I saw that lady, and I saw her grabbing a pack of cigarettes. Then I knew she was going to light up a cigarette, and I knew I have to go there, walk really slow until that she has the cigarette in her mouth. And then at that exact moment, I had to be at around 20 or 30 centimeters from her face and take a shot. It's about timing. And you only have one shot. And that's the difficulty with the fisheye. You only get one shot. You don't have the time to take five or six or seven shots.
Yes.
Too close. And then they moved on.
Did you find that switching to the fisheye, that the reactions became more negative, positive, or just not really a difference from what you're shooting before?
Not very different, actually.
Not very different.
It's about expanding boundaries. You know, I started out with a 70-200 together. We started out with a 70-200 from Canon. So you start out with 200 millimeters. But it's also my advice to all aspiring street photographers. If you want to expand your boundaries, start renting some lenses with the 200 millimeter. You're comfortable with that? Okay, start out with the 100. Then you get comfortable with that. Okay, go out to with a 50. And get comfortable with that. Then go to the 35, and so on, and so on, until you reach the point you're not comfortable anymore. Then take one step back, and that's your comfort zone. And that's the lens you should use on your street photography. And whether it's a 50 millimeter or 35 millimeter, I have a 23 millimeter, I have a 14 millimeter, and then I go to the 8 millimeter. Well, and that's about it. And maybe I go back to the 14 or the 23, or who knows?
Yeah, I think the only step you could go from there is macro, and you're talking nose hairs.
Yeah, you're talking nose hairs.
Focus on facial features, not faces.
No kind of photography.
Yes. It's like, that's some amazing pores you have there.
And the next step is x-ray.
Yeah, there you go. Willem, I want to talk about something that you talked about before, and I just love this subject, or how you express it. When you talk about timeliness in images, images that tell stories, you know, that you've mentioned Cartier-Bresson and Vivian Maier in this thing. Yeah. And there were three criteria that you used in capturing timeliness. One was a clear subject, one was a clear contextual framework through which the subject moves, and the other is the connection between the viewer and the image. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, on the point of the connection with the viewer, I think that's very important. If you look at a photograph from Sandra, or take a look at a photograph from whoever, you need to have a connection with what you see in the picture. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can relate to what you see in the picture. That, I think, for a viewer, that the photograph is interesting to the viewer, that's a very important thing.
Yeah, I think it's important that you not only look at the picture, but you have to feel it also.
Feel the picture.
You have to feel the picture.
And then the context of the where the subject is moving in. I think you could take a street portrait, of course, without asking, because you see a lot of street portraits. You know, you could take it in a studio, but I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't ask people on the street to take, if you can take the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can work in the studio. But on the streets, you should have some clear context of what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the picture from Sandra, the girl smoking the cigarette. Something is happening there. There's some kind of vibe happening there. She's looking straight into the camera. There's a little corner beside her. What's happening besides that corner? It could be a little bit darkish, you know? Some kind of story in there. Then on the subject of the story, that's a little bit more difficult for me, because when I shoot with a fisheye, often there's no story. Mm-hmm. Just about the subject.
Yes.
But if you shoot with a regular lens, let's say a 35 millimeter lens, and you just walk the street. I see a lot of street photography. People are just walking the street. I take a picture of someone walking the street, and now I've taken a street photograph. Well, if it was that easy, you know,
then we will all be famous.
Yes.
But if you look at Bresson, and actually what he, you know, the picture with the stairs with the cyclist.
Yes.
One of his famous shots.
Yep.
It's actually very easy to do that, because you see, he sees the geometry of the stairs. He stands on top of the stairs, and he just waits there. Maybe he stood there for an hour, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, who knows? But he just waited there for a subject to move into his frame and take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So he has geometry, he has the composition, and he has this movement, this motion of his subject. It's not very difficult to do.
Difficult to have the patience to do so, though, for me at least.
Yeah, that's key, of course, patience. If you look at Vivian Maier, that's a very different kind of photographer. And I like her photography much, much more. I like Bresson. I'm not negative about Bresson, of course not, because he was one of the founders of street photography. But if you look at Vivian Maier, there was something happening on the streets. I can feel it. I can relate to it more. I can feel it more. If I look at another shot from Bresson, the one jumping over a puddle.
Yeah.
I see those every day, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just waiting for someone to jump over a puddle and then take a shot. That looks nice, but it's not very difficult. What Vivian Maier did was, it's much, much more difficult. If you look at Bruce Gilden, what he's doing, it's bold. That's bold, right, with his flash. No, I have much more respect for his photography. If you look at Mark Cohen, if you talk about close, he's close. Right? He's taking his 21 millimeter and he's going right into someone's faces or legs or body or other body parts or whatever. But you know, this is very, very different.
It takes a different kind of bravery.
You should look at a YouTube video of Mark Cohen. Very interesting YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll have to take a look at that. I've seen the ones of Gilden. I mean, he's got balls of steel because the way he handles the situations, too. He's a bold New Yorker, you know, with his personality. So anybody kind of steps to him, he's stepping heavier and taller.
That's right.
But he just does it.
Yes.
That's no aggression. Why should people be aggressive for taking a picture?
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared. Well, yeah, they're going to slap my face. They're going to, you know, going to beat me up or whatever. Why? For taking a picture.
Plus, people fail to realize that anytime you walk out the front door, from that point forward until you return back inside, your picture's being taken. Be it traffic lights, be it security cameras, be it whatever, you're constantly on camera. What's the difference between mine and the government's?
People are posting their pictures on Facebook all the time.
And, that's right.
And, you know, let's be fair. If you take a picture of someone on the street and you post it on Facebook, that picture from that person will be much, much better than the picture that same person is posting from his eating his meal or drinking his or her wine. That's the very same Facebook.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, Willem and Sandra, I want to talk about We Street 2015. Oh. That massive project that you guys undertook with Steve Gonzalez and Arik Rataj. I don't know if I'm getting that name correct. And Marius Vieth.
Arik Rataj.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That's the way I say it.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, that was a daunting task. I know you guys looked over thousands of images. How did that project come to be in the first place? Where did that originate?
Oh, that's a little bit strange.
It's a funny story.
I was thinking about joining some street photography collective. There are a lot of collectives online.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, to get closer to fellow street photographers other than on Facebook, but getting a little bit more intimate in some kind of group. You know, I hesitated a lot of times, and on Saturday morning, I was sitting right where I'm sitting right now with my cup of coffee, and I was thinking, I'm going to make a book, but I'm not going to create a book with my own shots. I'm going to create a book from shots from Facebook.
Worldwide.
Uh-huh. And Sandra woke up. I told her my initial idea. She said, that's amazing. Let's do it. Then let's create a Facebook group and then invite some other moderators or curators, you know, pick the best and create a book. And that's how the idea got started.
Yeah, and I think it was only a few hours later we make already an announcement.
Yeah.
Really? So, same day, everything?
Very fast. When we have an idea, the beginning is already made the same day.
No point in waiting.
Put your money where your mouth is.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of talkers out there, but very few doers.
And it looked like you guys had a tremendous response to this project.
Yeah, amazing.
It was amazing, and people were full of excitement, and that was really nice for us to
beyond expectations.
Yeah, beyond. Yeah.
It really shows the community that revolves around street photography, urban life kind of exploration, that kind of deal.
Yeah,
and we also give spots for people that maybe only take one photograph.
One good one.
But they also get a spot in the book because that picture was very good. It doesn't mean the other ones are, but that one was good. So you get a spot in the book.
They're not only hardcore street photographers in the book.
No.
You know, anyone can be in the book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's about your picture. It's not about, are you a street photographer? No, you're normally, let's say, a landscape photographer, and by accident you took a good street photograph, you're in the book.
Yeah. And it's good, no doubt about it.
There's no point in ignoring something worthwhile just because they're casual. Just because somebody's prolific doesn't mean they're the only ones that's shooting.
Exactly. It was an amazing experience. We didn't sold that many books because it was quite expensive, because we used Blurb.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, quality on Blurb is just excellent. We're looking for different approaches for this year. Yeah? This year we will have a new project, the B3 Part 2.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there another one?
And I think we're going to stick with Blurb because we saw some books from different vendors, how do you call it, brands. Not that good.
This quality is very high, so.
But we had the free ebook.
And the customer service is really great with Blurb. But my first run, when they sent me my first three books, I could tell, like on one of the pages, the printer went bad, or one of the printer heads on the four color press. It just made these streaks in here. I contacted them, and within, I think they overnighted me the books the following day. It was immediate. Yes, there is an expense, but you're right. The quality is there, and then they make it right if it goes south.
Exactly. And that's very important because I've seen some photography projects, and then I thought, well, maybe people will be a little bit disappointed. And you can't have that. If you start a project like this with thousands, we had 3,500 photographers joining the project. You don't want to mess it up with a bad quality book.
No.
That's right.
Now, once you lose the people, they're gone forever.
Nobody will take you seriously anymore.
Yeah, because I know, you know, seeing the photographs from the ebook and what you guys put together, I'm ready for the second project. I'm ready to start submitting again.
I'll submit my accidents, definitely. My accidental good ones.
I think the result was really great, really great.
But and it looked like there was some hard work.
We're going to change the approach for this year.
Yes.
Maybe we can shed some light on that.
In the first one, I just want to kind of start with, how many total submissions did you have in the first?
About 15,000.
Wow.
15,000?
Wow.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yes. You know, you go through Facebook to the submissions, and you see very fast, no, maybe.
Yeah.
No. You know, you go very fast.
Yeah.
You can see, we saw pictures of flowers on the street. You know, that's a no, obviously.
That was a quick no, was it?
Yeah. That's a quick no.
That's a no and a response going, no, you don't know what you're, stop it.
But this year, you know, last year we worked with five people, four curators, Stephen, Arek, Sandra, and me. And we had
Marius,
of course.
Marius
Viet, who did the foreword. In the book, he's a professional photographer.
Award-winning
street photographer also. But now, we want to do it a little bit different.
Yeah, how is you going to change that up?
You know, you have the first group. Anyone can join. Anyone can add, and, you know, submit their pictures. There's an upfront curating that will remain the same. That will be done probably by the same group of people.
Yeah.
Then, from there on, you will be selected into the pre-selection group, just like last year. But this pre-selection group last year was public. Anyone could see it. But this year, you won't. I'm looking for different curators, but not only photographers. Also people from the digital industry, from gaming industry, but people with visual, artistic merits.
Ah.
Okay?
Okay.
They are going to take a look at our first initial selections. They will decide if you go through to the final pre-selection public group. So it will be harder. And also our own pictures, because now the four curators had three spots in the book. That won't be the case anymore, because we will be going through into that next group, at the next pre-selection group, as you will.
Mm-hmm.
But those three or four curators are acting independently from the first four. So if they think my shot isn't good enough, it will be deleted.
They will also look at the way how it's processed.
How it's processed.
The colors.
The composition,
everything.
The colors, whatever. You know, all kind of different angles from all kinds of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And then I think we will rise in quality.
That air of mystery, too, is going to be a big factor. So that way people don't know before the book comes out what images are immediately going to be there.
No, because the second group of curators, what they think this should go through, will be in a public group.
Yes.
So they are going to share that up.
They're not the final selections. And then we will go through the process of final selections.
Okay.
That will be done by the 8 of us or the 7 of us, or that by the whole group.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm trying to get it a little bit different this time.
Yeah. I see, I'm going to have to raise my game up a little bit, huh?
We saw a lot of photographs who were actually really good photographs, but the processing was just awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Over clarity, oversaturized, or yeah.
Yeah. It was like a painting. Did you paint it, you know, or did you use coal or something? I don't know.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. So over processed. But the image, the scene, everything, it was good. But it was messed up by the processing.
Yeah, that can happen.
You kind of feel like you want to, like, for those good, well-composed images that turn out to be, like, photographic vomit on the back end because of all of the clarity and the saturation and the oil painting-esque type approach. You just want to send it back to him and go, look, fix this because it's actually a good picture, and then resubmit it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to do that. I just mean you feel like it sometimes is possible.
I think that would be a great job for you to do.
Look through them. Hold on. Here's five of them. Reach out to these people. Tell them what you sent me is good on the basis, but the result is shit. So let's fix that.
the people who are sending those pictures, I still respect them because they're also out there.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same work as we do.
Yeah.
So I still respect them for being out on the streets doing that thing. And it's important to do your thing. Stay who you are. That's very important.
A photograph who you are.
Yeah, really put yourself out there. And people could read that from your images. You can tell a lot about a person just from looking at the imagery that they post.
Mm-hmm. Very curious what you think about my personality.
Yours? I would say you definitely got a humorous side. And you see, if I was just looking at your work and had never met you and never heard about you or anything, I just ran across it. If I looked at a series of it, I would assume you're an individual that kind of sees the world, specifically with the 8mm shots, more of kind of a circus in a way, that people are these various characters within this kind of carnival of insanity and also at the same time casualness, because you have some images like the smoking woman shot that is just it's phenomenal. But then on the other hand, like the image I was talking about with the gentleman where you're really emphasizing kind of his gut or middle section, yeah, and he kind of has this rich fat cat look to him, but he's on the street, so it's a juxtaposition. That's where I'm seeing kind of that carnivalistic approach.
Yeah.
And with Willem, the dog shots. Dog shots are great. Yeah. Yeah. The one that that made it in, that was in the book in the Wee Street 2015. Yeah. I mean, the slanted perspective, the dogs going against that slanted perspective. I mean, it was, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that shot.
We were just entering the city, and we went for a drink and something to eat, as we always do when we go together to the city. And then I saw these two girls and with the two little gremlins. You know, these dogs look like gremlins. I was walking, as always, with my dog, and these two dogs were actually approaching my dog very aggressive. That's what you're seeing there. And that's what I photographed. And it turned out great. It was my first shot of the day.
Oh, okay. You could have packed it in right there, man.
I noticed you do have a lot of the dog shots. Do you have a lot of pet? Is it an area that has a lot of pet owners that you go and haunt a lot? Or
if I see an interesting dog, the last shot I've posted on Facebook was the English bulldog.
I saw that one, yeah.
Because he has this really huge head with his tiny feet, you know, his tiny legs, underneath his big head. So, yeah, it looks really funny. Then I saw some woman walking their ferret.
Oh, a ferret?
You know, when you see a woman walking a ferret on the street.
You got to get that shot.
The ferret, I was too close to the ferret, so the ferret is not that sharp, but I will show you. Was really funny. But if the dog looks funny and the subject looks funny, but also the surroundings match it, then I would take a shot. Yeah, I love dogs. You know, I love the pets. And I'm looking for a cat, but cats are most of the time very, you know, they walk away.
Yeah, they're camera shy. Yeah.
But the fisheye shots from Willem, they look funny, but it doesn't mean he wants to bring his subject funny.
Right.
Right.
You know?
I don't make fun of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, right.
An important contextual framework, like you said. Yeah.
But on the Wee Street, for the next one, do you have a projected time frame and when you're going to be announcing and releasing?
I think we'll be announcing in April, and then people can become a member of the new group. It will be the Wee Street 2016, I guess. You won't be able to post pictures yet. I think we will be starting that in August.
Okay.
We would want to be the group as big as possible, much bigger than last year. Last year we had 3,500 contestants, and I think there could be more.
Oh, I'm sure.
You can join. You can join for a few months, and then we'll take off in, I think, in August.
Okay.
So it will not 15,000, but 30,000 pictures to watch.
Good luck.
Yeah. And you're keeping the same team, or are you going to be adding some extra eyes, some extra hands to help you with that?
If Stephen and Arek are still up for it and they're willing and they like to do it, they're welcome to do it, of course, because we're still
and
a team.
Marius also.
And Marius as well. If we have 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 contestants, then we probably need a bigger team. We will be asking around.
Yes.
But the most important part is actually the second team.
Yeah.
I have some names in my head. I'm not gonna talk about that here now. But there are photographers, but also some people from digital artists.
Right.
Yes.
Not specifically photographers, but people who take a very different look at pictures.
Yeah, photographers are always looking with a photography eye.
Yeah.
And we need a little bit more this time.
Yeah, different perspective.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. So what else do you guys have going? What else is up for the Yonkers team? I know this new project is going to be take a lot of your time, but anything else going on?
For me, I'm going to buy the 10 millimeter. So I still have the wide angle, but not the fisheye effect, but I can still do my thing. Go from my low angle or whatever angle or very close portraits, but get rid of the fisheye effect.
Is that kind of because earlier you had made the comment about feeling kind of gimmicky? Was that the word that you had said?
Yeah.
And you did. So you've reached your point, and now you're taking a step back.
And don't have all the buildings always so curved.
Yeah.
Because that's the gimmicky part. Look, the subjects, how I photograph them, that will be the same, because that's the way I like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The gimmicky part is, of course, the distortion in the surroundings. And maybe with the 10 millimeter, I can get rid of the distortions in the surroundings, but still get my personal autograph to be kept in the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my next challenge, I think. I think it's gonna happen this year.
How about you, Sandra? Anything for you?
Oh, my next challenge is post less pictures, but better ones.
Ah.
Self-curating is always the hardest thing.
Yeah. But it's not important that you show, for example, on Facebook every week or every 3 days a new picture. You have to post a good one. The good ones count. And maybe I'm a little bit harsh for myself, but this year I only posted 2 pictures because I wanted to grow and I want to do it better. And I want to show a certain vibe in my pictures. And that's maybe the question you asked earlier. When I'm going on the street, I'm in a certain vibe. And that certain vibe is showing in my picture. And that has to be better. So I have to work harder. But I think it's not possible to show a good picture every week. You cannot do that.
Can have decent shots but never good shots, like every single day posting, unless you have a 9-year-old archive.
Let's be honest, even the big names and the great photographers, they only get famous with 2, 3, 4 pictures.
That's true.
The rest is also good because the name attached to that photography.
Mm-hmm.
But they only get famous by a few shots. To me, it's more important to post less, show the world less pictures of me, but good ones. At least I try to make good ones.
Well, you do. I know. I remember one of the ones that you posted this year, the one with the man standing against that dark background. The very it was a great shot. What was he? Was he standing against the window? Because I see his reflection.
No, it's behind a kind of coffee corner. Uh-huh. And the way how it's processed gives a little bit more the mirror.
Okay.
The reflection. Because the original picture does have not that much reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Processed it. To me, it's a special picture because the guy is standing in very neat clothes.
Oh yeah, he looks like an aristocrat almost.
But what I like about it, in the reflection, you see his ponytail. And that I love about that picture.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, that really made that. I mean, like I said, he looked aristocratic. It was somebody that would draw your attention anyway.
But you
see that reflection. Adds depth to the image, and you know, visually and you know, and into the message. Yeah,
aristocrat from the front, hippie from the back.
Yeah, there you go. Love that picture.
What about you guys? What are you up to?
Just doing the show here. We just got done with Through the Lens, a gallery show a friend of ours put together here in town. And now I think we're just looking forward to Out of Chicago coming here in June. It's a photographic conference there in Chicago. A friend of ours, actually, one of the recent guests of the show, Ken Walton, had announced the streetphoto.org, photo with FOTO online. It's a San Francisco-based international street photography festival. So it's going to be the first one, so we're kind of looking forward to hearing some more about that and maybe talking about it a little bit more on the show here in the near future, too.
Are you guys familiar with the Miami Street Festival, big one that they have? Yeah, it's going to be fashioned in that kind of thing, just on the West Coast here. Well, Willem, are you planning on coming back to the United States one of these times?
I'm a little bit afraid of flying these days.
Ah.
A lot of planes dropping out of the air and everything. I always had a little bit of discomfort flying, especially the takeoff and the landing.
A little bit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I love, I love the United States. I was in Miami, I was in Chicago, I was in New York. We traveled a lot throughout the world, in Asia a lot, but we didn't do street photography, and it's a shame.
It's a shame, yes.
Not to go to Chicago, right? It's, you know,
yeah, right? You ought to try San Francisco, too. That's a different vibe.
Yeah, I've heard from friends of mine.
Great community of street shooters out here, too.
Yeah?
Oh, it's thick.
We'd love to have you guys out here as a guest and just come shooting with us.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And then we'll have to do a follow-up show to get you into the studio here.
Exactly. That would be awesome. But I would be very glad to make it to London by plane.
let alone crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to admit, though, I'm not a big fan of the flying either. Actually, it's not necessarily the flying part that I'm bothered by. It's just too many people around me.
Okay.
And dealing with TSA, it's like going to the dentist.
Yeah. TSA is, I've read about that online, to the politics, I think.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit harassing.
Actually, I had a friend of mine, he's in theater, and he was coming back. He was coming back from Chicago, and being a theater producer and actor in theater and stuff, he's always around props and so forth. And he was in the midst of, like, rush packing, like, really quickly getting everything together because his plane, you know, trying to catch the plane, and forgot that he had some props in his bag, and they were actually prop cap guns. And it wasn't until he was already going through the x-ray machine that they found him. So they ended up, like, pulling him off to the side. It became a major, major issue because they're also theater guns. So for theater, obviously, you're not going to have the red tip of a toy gun showing, so it's painted over. So they look like legitimate guns. So, oh, yeah, that got him into a nice mess of trouble there. He got whisked away to a nice room with no windows for a bit.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You know, Willem and Sandra, there was a question I forgot to ask you guys earlier, and I want to touch on this. The color versus black and white issue. And right. I know you guys shoot black and white. What is it about black and white that you feel expresses your art better than color?
For me, it's a very easy answer. It's so hard to process in color. I find it very difficult.
Ah.
And I like black and white more. Most of the time more. Some pictures are important to be in color. I didn't take a shot at this point that has to be in color. So that's why it always black and white.
For me, it's a little bit different. Most of the time, I think color is a little bit distracting from the subject. I like color shots if there are big surfaces in the picture with the same color.
Mm-hmm.
If you have big color surfaces, let's say a big surface is gray and some tiny color details and some colorful person is walking in that scene, then it's okay by me.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not distracting because my attention will be drawn to the subject. But if you take a color shot, for example, of a busy street in Chicago, there are so many colors, it will distract me from the subject. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I shoot black and white most of the time.
Trying to track down the textures and the lines above anything.
Yeah.
I read that you had thought about kind of tampering with film a little bit. Did you ever actually pursue that?
Going analog. No, not yet.
I was really curious because being a fisheye shooter, the type of lens that you use and how narrow your focus point is. Ooh, that sounds terrifying.
No, not yet. I have to, you can buy an analog camera very cheap these days.
Mm-hmm.
To get a fisheye lens on that camera, I don't think it's around.
You'd have to adapt it, very likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, get a standard camera with a 35 millimeter on it and shoot film.
Mm-hmm.
Film looks much nicer. I see film on Facebook. Shots were taken with film, and they took it digital through the scanner. I do see a difference.
Having that grain?
To a CD or to an analog album, it's an LP player. That sounds just a little bit more warm.
Right.
At the analog picture, it looks more warm.
But yeah, yeah. It gives it that timeless feel like we were talking about before. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was curious, do you have any like secret spots like that you would recommend people to go to, like some place that you don't get to go to very much, but you enjoy? I know you were talking about Berlin a while ago, but any, as you would say, Jim, you would call them dead zones, not a lot of people go to.
You mean places in the world?
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere.
Oh, yeah, okay. Go to Hong Kong. Go to Havana.
Havana.
We went to Havana. I mean, it's a street photography paradise.
Yes.
When did you go to this?
That was in 2008, I think. 2008 or 2009.
Oh.
Then we didn't do street photography. So, we went to Shanghai. Shanghai. Hey, go Shanghai. To Shanghai.
That is a place I would love to go, yeah.
Yeah, you found my bucket list somewhere.
Go to Hong Kong. If you go to Hong Kong, it will look, Manhattan looks like a village next to Hong Kong.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the vibe, it's amazing. It's amazing.
There's no place like Hong Kong.
No, no. It's probably a good and a bad thing.
Well, yeah, I went to Istanbul one time.
Oh,
and it was a and that was before I was doing my street shooting, and it was incredible. Incredible for street shooting. I mean, tons of people all around. It like Hong Kong, it makes New York look like a village. I mean, it's amazing.
And people don't mind if you take that picture.
Oh, they'll stop it. they'll stop and even pose if they want.
But there's one special place I want to notice, but that's only for you two.
Okay.
Rotterdam.
Rotterdam, yes. I would love to get, I already told Sandra, I would love to get over there and shoot in Rotterdam. I was so close to Rotterdam too at one point. Yeah.
Düsseldorf, yes. That's on the
I was in Düsseldorf, yeah.
See, okay, now I'm getting jealous again.
Yeah, and I was so close to Rotterdam at that point, but nah. Oh my gosh. Next time.
See, if it wasn't for the fact I'm terrified of doing so, I would love to shoot Tehran.
Uh-huh.
But I know that would just end in tears, generally.
That's very open. Eh? So a documentary on Tehran, it's nothing like the media is talking about. You know, as long as people accept you are taking a picture, you can take a picture. What about, there's no, you know, fuck the law then.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
I think it's the predisposed fears.
The ethics or the law? I think the ethic.
I like how you think, Willem.
Yes.
So you hear that, folks? Ethics is numero uno. And wherever you are in the world, get the shot, get the art, and share.
Yeah, that's it. If people approach you about what are you doing, talk about it, show them what you do, offer them the photo. If they want you to delete it, delete it. Most of the time, you know, they won't ask you to delete it. It only happened to me maybe once or twice. Then you will be fine. You know, what about the law? Fuck the law.
And you never know what you might find when you talk to somebody as well. Kind of build into the story some more.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but we photographers are always talking about our subject, but we need to understand the subject is people.
It's a person.
It's a person. Yep. So you have to be careful with it. Don't be afraid, because they are not going to shoot you because you're taking a picture of them.
Even in America, or like in the Netherlands, we have the same law. But that if the law says you can take someone's picture on the street, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take someone's picture on the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And children also, you have to be careful with children. I shoot children, but always in a decent way.
I'm in the same vein. It's always kind of been a thin path for me, because I'll shoot, you know, like you said, I'll take pictures of kids and everything, but it is the one subject I'm always hesitant on. I always get that second thought, because I shoot from the hip, and I never want to seem like I'm not trying to be sneaky. It's just I like that level, that point of view. So when I'm going by and I'm taking that picture, I always am fearful that somebody's going to think, you know, ultimately, because it does come down to that ethics thing. And I think at that point, you're really kind of bordering on you.
How would you feel?
Exactly. As a father, if somebody took a picture of my kid that way. Being my background in photography, I have a predisposition to it, so I'd be like, oh, okay. But if I wasn't involved in photography, I would definitely be inquisitive as to why.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm also overprotective, too.
But I still think it's very important to shoot the children also, because they are part of the street also.
Yeah.
That's right.
We were actually having a conversation about homelessness and the people that say, oh, don't take pictures of homeless people. Again, comes back to what Willem was saying, is ethical. And exactly what you were just saying, Sandra, is if you don't take pictures of it, you're ignoring a reality that exists. And by not documenting it, you're acting like it's not there.
Yeah.
It would be really terrible if you look 100 years from now and there are no pictures from children on the streets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or 100,000 years, and they'll be like, well, I guess people just lived forever at one age. They just stuck that way. Yeah. A nation of vampires.
I'm very careful with children. I usually don't, because of I'm a male.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A little bit
different. On the subject of homeless people, depends on the...
The situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't take a picture from, hey, look, a homeless man.
Exactly.
Right.
It's about context.
Yeah.
But if he's kicked back, has a cigarette in his mouth or something, and it's an artistic composition...
Then you take a picture.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a part of society also.
That's right. That cannot be ignored. Yeah.
Well, guys, I just wanted to kind of throw it out there. How can people online find you? Where, any website links you want to throw out?
SandraJonkers.com.
Excellent, excellent.
On Facebook also, but you see those icons on my website and Twitter and the community 500 pics. Yes, and also a Dutch community. So you can find me everywhere.
Or a nice Google search engine there. Just throw it out.
You can find me at WilliamJonkers.com. You can find me at twitter.com/WilliamStreets, facebook.com/WilliamStreets, also on worldstreetphotography/WilliamStreets, or you can Google me. And then if you just Google WilliamJonkers, then you'll find me.
We'll put a ton of links into the show notes as well. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever your chosen podcatcher is, just head on over to streetpx.com. Look for our post with these two fantastic street photographers out of Rotterdam here. And you'll see a series of various links. It's going to take you to all the pages that I'll be able to find with some research here shortly.
Well, Willem and Sandra, we appreciate you guys coming on the show. It was just amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure, and we're very honored to be on your show. It was a really cool conversation.
We are honored to have you. And it's finally great to talk to you guys after a couple of years of being friends on social media. Love it.
Thank you very much.
And definitely let us know when We Street, when you're going to be announcing, like when you're comfortable to really kind of put it out there, because we'll bring it into the show and we'll talk to people about it and help plug it that way too.
We'll let you know.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Thank you everybody for listening. Definitely, again, take a look at streetpx.com. You can find more information about me at recasper.com.
And jimwatkinsphoto.com.
Yep, and as Jim said in the last show, he's finally into the 20th century with Instagram.
Oh yeah, I'm on Instagram too, jimwatkins113.
Excellent. I'm at Ari Casper Photo on Instagram as well. So much appreciation for joining us. Much appreciation at the Yonkers for joining us as well. And everybody have a great night.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye. Bye.